This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morrison. This week we're chatting with a pair of lacrosse players who have helped their teams get off to fast starts this year. Plus, the women's basketball team is headed to the NCAA tournament for the third time in the past four seasons. All that and more are coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The Bates women's basketball team is headed to Scranton, Pennsylvania for the first two rounds of the 2025 NCAA Division III Championships. The Bobcats take on Southern Virginia this Friday at 4:15 p.m., and head coach Allison Montgomery joins us this week to preview the tournament. All right, Coach, a return to the NCAA tournament for the women's basketball team. You kind of knew you were in because of the metrics, but it was a long wait on Selection Monday there. What was that like for you sitting like, are we going to get our name called at some point, right?
Yeah, it was a long wait. And just with the shift in the way that the postseason is selected this year, that's been an adjustment, I know, for all of us and definitely for us. And to have, you know, not played in a bit and to be waiting for those results. So to kind of be in the last four called there was definitely made that wait even a little more anxiety provoking for sure.
And you're playing Southern Virginia in your first round game. Mm-hmm. They obviously only have two losses all season, and both were ranked teams and were close games.
Yeah, they're really tough, and that's what you expect. I mean, every team at this point, every team that's competing in the postseason is really tough and is where they are for a reason. Yeah, they're right. Like their losses are to really, really strong opponents. Not the strongest conference. I think we also, you know, just take a ton of pride in the conference that we're from and knowing that we're kind of tested every game in conference play. So that's great. But they're really tough and they're dynamic. They're good at every position. They have a really kind of athletic post player, bunch of guards who can shoot it. Some good veterans, really good numbers in terms of like really high assists, limited turnovers. Like a really tough defensive team. So I just think they're gonna be good all around and, you know, definitely be a challenge. But we're also really excited to just play a team that, you know, we're less familiar with and that, you know, out of our region. So it'll be fun.
It's tricky because obviously if you win the game, you have to play another team that you haven't seen. So how do you prepare like possibly, you know, two different opponents who might be completely different?
Yeah, it's a whirlwind. A lot of coaches out there right now cramming, happy to be cramming for the upcoming weekend. But yeah, you really want to be, you know, obviously put plenty of preparation into that first game because it's, you know, a survive and advanced at this stage of the game. So you really got to make sure you're preparing enough for that first opponent, but want to have the big enough picture to feel like if you do advance that you're prepared for the next day and also have the opportunity to live scout. So that's kind of nice too. But yeah, it's a lot of work in these next few days to feel like, you know, we're prepared for anything that might happen this weekend.
How's the team feeling right now? The NESCAC quarterfinal game, you're up big. Amherst came storming back. Yeah. I mean, tell us where the team's kind of at.
I think in a great space. I think actually that was definitely hard to recover from, to process, to also be in that kind of limbo state of, you know, thinking our season continues, but not being totally sure. And then also just, you know, obviously being disappointed with not continuing to championship weekend. So, you know, that was definitely tough, but it also gave us an opportunity to keep practicing, to do some different things than we typically would this time of year. So I think both in terms of working on stuff on the court and then also just trying to get our team, you know, mentally focused on what we need to do and just like work on our connectedness in terms of, you know, things off the court as well. I think it's been a blessing to have that time.
Three NCAA tournament appearances in the last 4 years. What does that mean for this growing program?
Yeah, so important. I mean, this is what we're striving for. And we want to be in a position all year where when we look at our season as a body of work that we've established ourselves as, you know, one of the most competitive programs in the country. So, you know, I think our team really, really, really values this opportunity. Really grateful for it. And as much as, you know, the ending in our conference play was disappointing, I think trying to look at that big picture and trying to feel really confident and excited about the fact that we've prepared ourselves and put ourselves in a position to, you know, be among one that's selected for the postseason play.
All right, Coach. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Aaron.
The men's lacrosse team is 3-0 and 1-0 in NESCAC action after another outstanding week. The Bobcats won 18-4 Wednesday at Emerson and followed that up with a 14-8 win over Hamilton on Saturday. For Bates, sophomore Miles Schmidt has continued to be a revelation at the faceoff position, as he's won an incredible 89.7% of faceoffs over the first three games of the season. Schmidt's goal to start the Hamilton game off the opening faceoff set the tone as the Bobcats raced out to a 14-3 lead. And Miles Schmidt is our male Bobcat of the week. Well, Miles, we had you on last week, but you're our male Bobcat of the week, so got to have you back on, and because you keep winning faceoffs. You mentioned something last week I wanted to follow up on, that you taught yourself how to do this. What was that process like? Can you take us through that?
Yeah, so Seattle being a smaller lacrosse area, a lot of the more specific technique-based skills of the sport are definitely just not as mainstream. So I had a coach for about a year, Gray Sunderland. He taught me right like the beginning when – so recently in faceoffs, there was a rule change going from where you were down on one knee to now standing up. So that happened my freshman year of high school, freshman or sophomore year. And so it was a massive change with like the entire position of the sport, because it's like you went from – shooting three-pointers only to now shooting fadeaway twos from the end of the baseline. And so it's like you got to learn a little bit more about like what you're doing and how to teach yourself, and especially in Seattle, because there was no one who really knew how to do it. He kind of gave me the skeleton of it, and then the rest of it I just kind of had to fill in myself. So it was great, like having to just go out in my yard and go on Instagram and go just watch videos and just find any sort of way that I could improve my skills. And I think as I started to develop that, especially over COVID, just because there was no access, you weren't going to tournaments on the East Coast. Once I was kind of able to just rep that out myself and then go play against guys out East, it was kind of able just to trial and error, just figuring out what worked and how I could best set myself up and win faceoffs.
It almost kind of helps because everyone was starting from scratch across the country, right?
I think that was a great part. Like, the change from knee down to standing up has been one of the best things that happened to me as a faceoff guy, because it allowed me to use my athleticism, my size, and I think the other things that set me apart as a faceoff guy more to my advantage, because knee down was a lot of just who had the fastest hands, who was getting out, and I think now standing has really made it a much more dynamic position that I think I'm able to strive in a little bit more.
The other thing you mentioned I wanted to follow up on is you lost 45 pounds over the offseason. Break us down your workout regimen there.
Yeah, so, end of last season, I was really hyper-fixated on the fact that I needed to get really strong. Mm. And I think a lot of the stuff and work that I put in the offseason my freshman year was just focused on, okay, I need to get as strong as possible. I need to put on weight, and I need to maximize myself in this area. But what I didn't realize is that I'd never played over 230 pounds in my life. Like, obviously, that's still a lot of weight. But that was just something that I didn't even realize. And when I got on the field, it kind of played out as where I wasn't able to make the plays that I knew I was capable of making, because I was just a step or two behind. So I went into the offseason, and I was like, I need to get fast. And so how do you get fast? It's mass times force equals acceleration. It's like, all right, you got to cut down on that mass a little bit so you can be accelerating a little bit quicker, so then you can be faster. And I was like, all right, I'm going to maximize my strength per pound. And I love lifting. I read a lot of journal articles about how to just be the best version of myself. And I think with one of my speed coaches as well, Coach D, amazing guy who I've been working with like the last 3 years doing plyometrics, sprint training. He was kind of able to help me just develop that speed aspect. And then I just was eating less. It's like I'm a big boy and I can eat a lot of food. So it's like I'm getting myself a plate at Commons, and instead of filling the big plate there pile high, I was just like, all right, let me get one of the small round plates and I can still fill it up. And you know, I mean, I'm eating 4,000 calories a day still right now, but you know, I'm going from 5,000 to 4,000, so it helped me kind of just slim down and be the best version of myself per pound.
Since you're self-taught somewhat, what have you learned since you've gone to college from like the Bates coaching staff with Coach Nino and everyone?
Yeah, so Coach Nino and Smithstead aren't too heavy into the face-off world, but I think the other guys that I work with last year, Andrew McCarthy and Graham Ray, I think Graham Ray has been awesome. He's a technician is what we say. Yeah. So he's been really awesome, because now not only do I coach when I'm at home as well, but Graham coaches and Finn coaches as well, who's our other face-off guy freshman this year. We're all kind of able to just analyze each other. So it's like we got a really great group of three guys who go out, and every time you're in a rep, it's like, all right, this time I saw your top sidewall wasn't snapping all the way over the top of the ball. Make sure you turn that thumb down so you know that you're going to secure it and you're going to get out without leaving the ball behind. And I think that constant feedback has really been what's been able to push us as a unit to just be really great collectively. And I'm so thankful to them because, you know, without them, like even before the Hamilton game, I was in there and I was struggling with our half clamps, which is where they have 50% of the ball and I'm trying to just drive through. And Finn and Graham were like, take a step back, take a deep breath, reset. And I'm watching you right now. Your body's falling forward. Your hands aren't going first. And I was like, all right, took a step back, deep breath. And I was like, hands first, hands first, hands first. And bang, bang, snapping down over the top of the ball. And I'm like, nah, I just remembered what I learned. And my habits just kind of kicked in. And without them, I probably would have went out on that game and lost a lot more faceoffs in the first half. But, you know, it's been great to have those guys so supportive.
Awesome. And well, you won your opening faceoff and memorably you went down the field and scored your second goal as a Bobcat. I mean, take us through that particular play, you know, and what a way to start the game, right? This team must have been so hyped up.
Yeah. So first faceoff of the game, you know, nerves that are at an all-time high, first NESCAC opener. And it's like, all right, just going to go out and do me. Get a face-off, get the clamp, pop it forward, coming down the field, and I see guys closing in on me from each side, and I'm like, all right, I'm just tucking and rolling. So I roll away from the pressure. Next thing you know, I take my head up, and I have 10 yards of green grass in front of me, and I can feel the guys on my back, but I'm running forward, pull it, snipe top right, hear the little mink, and I'm like, all right, let's do it. We're rolling now, boys. And I want to shout out Brian Hart as well because I was working on my shots literally for 45 minutes the day before, just ripping them down the alley because I was like, Franklin and Marshall game, I had three great shots and I missed every single one. And I was pissed at myself. I'm like, I need to get these on goal because if I get it on goal, I know they're going in. And so Brian was helping me out, getting my hands dialed, what I do with my head, how to snap it. And it all kind of paid off that day. And I think it really set the tone for the game.
I do feel like it can be really demoralizing for the opposition, isn't it?
Yeah, especially as a face-off guy because these goalies have no idea where the ball's going. And then you're like, oh my God, a face-off guy just pulled one top right, stick side high on me. And I mean, he's first team all NESCAC. That was the best goalie in the league last year. And that's how you set the tone. You saw it after that. Riley was just pulling to corners all day. Like, he wasn't able to get a piece of the ball after that. So it was great.
And I mean, you mentioned on last week's episode, you were waiting for, you know, a bigger challenge than your non-conference games. And obviously Hamilton, you know, the team that was ranked last year, All-American goalie. On paper, that's a challenge, but you guys were off to a huge lead. I mean, what was the atmosphere like on the sideline? Like, wow, we keep scoring and scoring and scoring here.
Well, I think it was amazing because it's like we had no doubt about who we were as a team. Like, we went into that game, we're like, we're just going to play 60 minutes of Bates lacrosse. And I think by trusting all of the work and trusting each other when we went into that game, there was no doubt about our capabilities as a team. And I think we were really able to showcase that. But that being said, I mean, still is their first game. We played two games before that, and they're a NESCAC program. So you really can't bet on anything. We need to just keep focusing on our process this week and really looking to attack Williams because I know that's going to be a true test of where we really are.
Yeah, going on the road, right? So, yep. I mean, what's your thoughts on, like, a long road trip to Williamstown?
You know, we're used to it. I think Hamilton last year, Pennsylvania, first game, we've already been on the bus for a long amount of time. So I think we're not too worried about that. But I think Williams last year is a game we really want to get back, yep, having a one-goal game with them. And thinking that was probably one of our better games last season. So it's like, all right, we want to turn those losses into wins now and really show the NESCAC that we're not playing games this year.
Well, and it's exciting because after that road game at Williams, you have five straight home games.
I know.
And what's it like playing out there in Garcelon in front of the fans and everything?
Garcelon is one of my favorite places to be on a Saturday, especially with all the football guys and a lot of our friends out there. I think they really set the atmosphere very well. And I think playing in front of not only people that you support, like we support the football and basketball guys too in their games, but those are also your friends. It's like there's nothing better than showing everyone what's up in front of all your best friends, families, parents. Like, it's an awesome atmosphere.
Yeah, there's a connection there, right? Because Jack Morrison plays for both teams.
Yep.
Does anyone else play for both?
Andrew Tolan played – summer ball his freshman year, and then
So really, yeah. Morrison's the only one who's on both. But I mean, there's a connection there, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. And he's really great friends with Ryan Linsky, Jermaine Anson, and a lot of those guys. So it's great because we have a good connection to those guys, and they're some of our good friends, and we go to all the football games too and get it rowdy. So they're really paying it forward to us as well. Like Bobcats supporting Bobcats, so you love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, through three games, 89.7% on faceoffs. Are you surprising yourself?
Well, I think first, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Was I expecting that? Absolutely
no, right.
not.
Yeah.
But I think as long as we can just keep doing what we're doing, like we have a great middle third. Like I was saying it last week, I think we have one of the best middle thirds in the NESCAC. And that isn't just because of like the skill that we have on the team. I think we have a hungry team. Like we're desperate. Like we're desperate for wins. And I think that really plays into a lot of what we're doing in there, because it's like every single ground ball, every single face off is its own. It's 0-0. Each time it's 0-0. So let's go out and go all out and make sure that we don't have anything that we're leaving on the field by the end of the game.
Great. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share about the Hamilton win or the Emerson game before we head into the weekend here?
I think we're really just looking to continue what we've been doing, right? We're focusing on Bates lacrosse and focusing on doing what we do. So I think we can't get overconfident. We can't expect anything to just fall in front of us, because this is NESCAC lacrosse, and no one's going to be surprised about what the Bobcats can do now, because we've really, I think, put a lot of the league on notice. So I'm excited to not only face the challenge of everyone expecting us, but also being able to elevate above that, because I know this team has a lot more in it, and I know that by us continuing to do what we do, we're going to be in a great spot by the end of the year.
All right. Seattle's own Miles Schmidt, our male Bobcat of the week, winner of 20 of 23 faceoffs against Hamilton, and a 14-8 win for the Bobcats. They are at Williams this Saturday at noon. Their next home game is a week from today, 6 o'clock against Keene State. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Aaron.
Speaking of impact players, Bates women's lacrosse senior defender Olivia Hall was named the Intercollegiate Women's Lacrosse Coaches Association's National Defensive Player of the Week for her performance on Saturday as the Bobcats won 11-3 at Hamilton to open NESCAC play. Hall caused a career-high 5 turnovers and recorded a career-high 5 ground balls in the victory, and she is our female Bobcat of the Week. Well, Olivia, great performance by the defense there, 11-3 win at Hamilton. But I got to ask about the weather conditions first. I mean, especially in the first half, that snow was crazy. Take us through the experience of playing in that.
Yeah, it was tough. I've never really played in snow like that. It was snowing a lot, like the first half. And it was kind of just like in your face a lot and on the ground. So the ball was really slippery and it was tough. But we had to make some adjustments in the game about how to play in the snow. I think we were a little struggling in the beginning with it because it was challenging, but then we were easy to adapt to all the snow, and then in the second half it got a lot better.
I was gonna say the second half was all Bates. You ran away with the victory. What was the key to having that much success? And really through the years the team has done pretty well against Hamilton. That's now 4 wins in the last 5 tries there.
In the first quarter and second quarter, like in the beginning of the first quarter, we were making some pretty bad passes, doing some clears, moving the ball from defense to offense, and then we had a huddle like a couple minutes in and talked about how we needed to adapt to those, to how like the weather and how slippery the ball was, and then we were able to change that. And then that was really awesome, because then whenever we had a turnover on defense, we were able to successfully get it over to attack. So I think that was kind of our biggest game changer.
Tell me a little bit about the defense in general. I mean, who are you working with back there? I know obviously Reagan White is the goalie, and you have I know Elsa Copeland had a big game. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little about this unit and what makes you so effective so far.
Yeah, I think that we're trying some new defenses right now. This year with a new coach, we've been running some new sets, and that's been really working. And our coach is really great about knowing what players are good in what positions. So then we're really utilizing our strengths. So like we have some girls that are really awesome on the crease, and some that are really awesome on elbows, and then in other positions like being a rover or backer. So it's awesome to see that we're all kind of being played to our strengths.
What's your role in all that?
I'm the backer.
Backer. Okay. So yes. Are you kind of last line of defense besides the goalie?
Yeah. So basically I like follow where the ball is coming around. So I like follow where the ball is, and so that my peer can go and pressure out on the ball. So then if she gets beat, then I'm right there with her. And then it's also good, like this position, we can do a lot of like double teams. Mm. And that's where a lot of the cause turnovers come from.
I was going to ask you, you caused 5 of them. So what was clicking for you to cause all those turnovers? That's a career high for you.
Yeah, it was awesome. I think a lot of doubles like communicating with my teammates about when was a good time to go and really put a lot of pressure on the attacker. And that was awesome. We had great communication. Like if I said, let's go double, like we'd go and do it and put 100% effort into it. And then when you're in that double, you have one person like on the body of the attacker and then one person on the stick. And then it's really easy just to check the ball out of the stick and pick it up. So that was, I think, where a lot of the cost turnovers came from.
Excellent. Well, you're a senior now, but take us back when you were, you know, in high school, growing up in Boston. How did you first start playing lacrosse, first of all, and then what made Bates the place for you?
I started playing lacrosse actually in kindergarten, like when I was really little. It was like the first activity that I did. I did it with my best friend, Catherine, who plays at Wesleyan. Her dad was the lacrosse coach in our town for like our town team. So then she and I would do it and did that like all through elementary school. And then when I went to high school, continued playing lacrosse. And then in high school, I played at the Windsor School and I had an amazing coach, Trina Havel. She's awesome. And she was the one that told me that I should really think about looking at some D3 schools. And then I also played club for Massalite. But then my junior year of high school, I spent the year actually living in Spain. So I didn't play lacrosse that year. And then COVID hit and I came home. And then it was kind of really awkward for like COVID hit my junior year. So then it was really awkward with all the recruiting. Because then there wasn't, like, I didn't have any film because we didn't have a junior season. It was really challenging. So I actually came to Bates not on the lacrosse team. Then I walked on my freshman year.
Oh, okay. So what was that experience like? Kind of like, hey, I play lacrosse. I want to join the team.
It was awesome. It was good. Like, I didn't know even if I would be allowed to try out. So I just came to Bates because I liked the school a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I had reached out to the coach in the summer and then had tried out in the fall.
You know, mentioned junior year abroad in high school. So yeah. What was that experience like in Spain?
It was good. It was really fun. When I did that, I lived with like a host family, and it was like a program for some kids from the U.S. going to a school, like an American school in Spain. And I did field hockey and rowing when I was in Spain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was fun.
And field hockey, is that pretty big over there?
Yeah, it is big. Yeah. It was kind of a male-dominated sport. So it was funny. Oh. A lot of boys that I played with.
Yeah, the opposite of here.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. And so now, I mean, how have you seen your kind of lacrosse game grow from a walk-on here to now being a senior?
It's definitely grown a lot. I think I've really had to push myself these past few years into kind of become an impactful player on the team. And it's really exciting to have this experience of playing in such an amazing league and being part of such a great team.
Yeah, the team is 2-1 to start the year. They're at Husson. Mm-hmm. We're talking here Tuesday morning. They're at Husson tonight at 6 o'clock there. But, I mean, how big was that win, I mean, over Catholic? I mean, the overtime victory.
Oh, that
victory.
Felt awesome. Yeah. That was so exciting. That was really exciting because we had just come off the loss from Haverford, and we were really disappointed about that. And then the game at Catholic was amazing. Like, I think we really proved ourselves as being a dominant team in the league.
That's got to be a very nice confidence builder heading into NESCAC play, right?
Definitely.
And then your new head coach, Princess Zabel, tell us about her.
She's great. She, I think, really takes the time to learn about all the players and all of your strengths and weaknesses. Like I said, with the defense, like she has everyone in very specific roles, which really helps play to your strengths. And I think that's why we've had so much success in the Hamilton game and the Catholic game. And she's also really wonderful during games, like coaching us during games so that we can be adaptable to how the other team is playing. And she always is drawing up like new plays for the attack and is really motivational for the defense and telling us how we can fix our plays and how we can fix our defense if they've scored a few times during like doing kind of the same thing. So that's been a really positive thing for the coaching.
Awesome. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share about the Hamilton win or the season so far we haven't got to talk about?
No, just it's so exciting. And I think we have a long and exciting season ahead of us. And I'm excited for some more wins.
Excellent. Bates at Husson, as I mentioned, tonight at 6 o'clock. And then don't forget, folks, the home opener is this Saturday at noon against Williams right there at Garcelon Field. Olivia Hall, our female Bobcat of the Week, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
The squash teams headed to Philadelphia on Friday and competed in the College Squash Association Divisional Championships, with the women playing for the Kurtz Cup, which is the B flight, and the men competing for the Summers Cup in the C flight. The men made a run to the Summers Cup final for the first time since 2016, just falling short by a score of 5-4 in the championship match. But a number of Bobcats impressed over the weekend, including first-year Ryan Kim. Kim won all three of his matches in Philadelphia and ends the season on a four-match winning streak. Well, Ryan, first of all, you're a first year here at Bates. You just wrapped up your first men's squash season. Tell us about growing up. You're from New York. When did you first start playing squash? What got you into the sport?
I actually used to be a baseball player. I played baseball for 8 years. And one day I was in the Hamptons and I went to the local rec center. Sort of had nothing to do and managed to coincidentally walk into the squash facility. Got a lesson, really loved it. So started playing, that was when I was 9 years old. And then when I was in seventh or eighth grade, I was getting a lot of work and sort of playing travel baseball and training for squash as well. And it was too much. So I ended up quitting baseball and I started pursuing squash at the national level. Competed all the way up through high school, got recruited, came to Bates, and sort of, yeah, the rest is history.
So what drew you to come up north here to Maine? Had you been to Maine before?
I actually hadn't been to Maine before. I was looking at a lot of NESCACs and some lower Division I schools when I was going through the recruitment process. But, you know, I really fell in love with the team here. I love everyone on the team, the coaching, everything. So, yeah, that's what drew me to Bates.
Well, just looking at the results this year, you finished the year on a roll here. You won all three of your games there at Nationals. What was really clicking for you this past weekend in particular?
Yeah, you know, I think it was the support from my team coupled with the mental prep that we had going these past 2 weeks of prep and training. We were saying the whole year that our goal was to perform really well at Nationals, and I think we accomplished that goal. You know, we fell short at the end in a heartbreaking 5-4 loss to Chatham, but you know, when we suffered adversity or struggles throughout the year, we always told everyone that we wanted to be peaking at the end of the season, right, going into Nationals. So it was sort of not holding on to losses and sort of struggles that I went through at the beginning of the season, especially as a first year and as a freshman, you're bound to go through some adversity and sort of just really remembering that, you know, we're competing as a team and I wasn't by myself. And so the success really wasn't just a reflection of how well I was playing, but sort of the support I had from my teammates, my coaching, my parents, and sort of everyone as a whole.
And what was the experience kind of like? I mean, you being a first year going to Nationals, a huge facility there, I believe, in Philadelphia. So tell me about the experience kind of as a whole.
Yeah, so the Spectrum Center has actually hosted a lot of junior events as well.
Okay.
So I had played the U.S. Open there. I played Junior Nationals there a bunch of different times. But it's one of my favorite events of the year. I was able to see a lot of my friends who ended up going to, you know, other schools like Williams, Amherst, Bowdoin, Middlebury. So it was really cool to see everyone there competing sort of for the same goal.
I'm curious because you mentioned, you know, a lot of your friends at other NESCAC schools. You know, did you play any of them this year? I mean, do you typically know your opponent? Because, I mean, the world of squash is a little bit smaller maybe than other sports.
Yeah, so it was actually funny because the squash community is so small. So I pretty much know every freshman that's competing on the NESCAC.
Right.
Coincidentally enough, all my matchups this year happen against seniors or juniors.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I actually managed to not play any freshmen this year, but I think besides MIT. So yeah, it was pretty funny how that worked out.
What was the biggest adjustment for you, you know, going from junior squash to college squash?
I think it was two things. The first is physicality. Mm-hmm. I think everyone in college is going to be really fit, really strong, and have a lot of endurance. So talent comes out of it a little bit. Like, you just got to be able to grind for like an hour, hour and a half. And then the second thing is it's a different kind of pressure, and sort of it's something I talked about with the other first years on the team. But in juniors, you only ever feel pressure or stress when you're afraid of losing or you really are focusing on winning. But when you get to the college level and now it's a team sport, you're thinking about how many wins does my team need to win this match? And so, you know, it's just a different kind of pressure when you're trying to show up for everyone else. But it's a pressure that I came to enjoy and I came to really appreciate.
You mentioned, you know, choosing squash over baseball. What made squash kind of, you know, what made it so enjoyable for you, I guess?
Well, funny enough, I think I was just a lot better at squash.
Okay.
To be honest, it was a much more projectable track for me.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be playing baseball at the college level. But yeah, it's just a faster pace, you know. It was from the first time I picked up a racket, it was just super fun for me. You know, people always say squash is like the sport or athletic version of chess, and sort of it's really mentally and physically challenging, and I've always loved that about the game.
Great. I know, you know, the team was talking about how, like, well, they were eating you off the plate. At least Max Goodman was eating you off the plate. You guys are obviously, you know, hungry for next year. What are your thoughts and, you know, goals for next season?
Yeah, so, you know, we're super, super, super sad to see four of our seniors go. You know, they set the tone every day at practice, and it's going to be hard to fill their shoes. That said, we have six, potentially seven guys coming in next year. It's always super fun. We're going to have a super young team full of experience. We got guys coming from Virginia, from Seattle, from all over the country. So we're really excited to sort of set the tone and sort of start new. We we feel like we ended the season with a lot of unfinished business, you know, losing to Amherst 6-3, Middlebury 6-3, Bowdoin, Chatham, you know, at Nationals. And so we're really hungry, and, you know, we were super happy with how the season went, but we do have a little bit of a bitter taste in our mouth that's going to sort of drive us for next year and all the goals we have.
This was the first time that men's squash had reached the final of a divisional championship since 2016. So that's an achievement in and of itself, I suppose, right?
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. We were super proud. You know, we faced a lot of adversity this year. And again, I can't say it enough, but we really relied on our seniors and our captains to sort of guide us through those hard times. And yeah, they're leaving pretty big shoes to fill next year.
Sounds good. What are your thoughts you want to mention about, you know, your first collegiate squash season or the past weekend we haven't got to talk about yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've just had a great experience so far. I love everyone on the team. Super excited about next year and sort of leading the guys. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
All right, Ryan Kim went undefeated this past weekend at the divisional championships in Philadelphia. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
The men's tennis team got on the winning track with a pair of victories on Saturday at Merrill Gym. The Bobcats beat the University of Southern Maine and Nicholls College, both by scores of 7-0. Senior captain Evangelo Kapathanasis turned in a strong performance, winning his singles and doubles match against USM and finishing up his undefeated day with another doubles win against Nicholls. Interesting weekend, right? Taking on USM and Nicholls College. You get to play two doubles matches in the same day with a different partner, though. Take us through how you kind of adjust when you have someone who's not your usual partner, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm pretty close with everybody on the team. Yeah. And, you know, me and Eli are very good friends off the court. And, you know, we're both senior captains. So we love playing with each other when it ends up happening. And we got the job done.
And it's a long day of tennis, so that's a lot of matches. So how do you stay in it there? Your conditioning has to be pretty strong, doesn't it?
We've had a different conditioning element to our training this year. We've been running a lot, doing a lot of training in the gym early in the morning, 6 a.m. And us captains have took the initiative to get us in very good shape. So, and we also got prepared a lot in Florida from coach. We had four matches in 3 days, so we were pretty well equipped for it.
Love that home court at Merrill, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we call it the Merrill Magic, so yeah.
And because the surface is different there than other courts, right? Take us through how it plays differently.
So yeah, in Merrill, it's more of a rubbery, really fast surface. Outside, it's a little bit more gritty, and the ball's a little bit more slow, so inside of Merrill, we can kind of take advantage, have a little bit more advantage of other teams, and have that faster-paced surface that we're more used to. So it's always to our favor.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, you're from Maine, right?
Of course, yeah.
So how did you start first playing tennis competitively growing up, and what led you to want to, you know, stay in the state for college?
So, yeah, actually, I started playing tennis my senior year of high school.
And, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So I started playing tennis my senior year of high school, and the coach at Chevers High in Portland, Maine, he actually knew Coach Paul pretty well, and you know, things went pretty fast in my development, and he thought I was going to Bates. I came here ED, so he's like, you know, why not just reach out to him? And coach allowed me to walk on, and here we are today. I've worked my way up the lineup, actually, along with my doubles partner Ben, who was also a walk on. He's from Falmouth, Maine, right next door to me in Westbrook. And we've worked hard, and now we found ourselves in the lineup here, senior and last year as juniors.
So I'm curious, what prompted you to want to start playing tennis just senior year of high school? What led to that?
So I had I have a big tennis family. Mm. You know, pretty much everybody in my family plays tennis. And senior year, they needed like an extra guy. I was an athletic guy. I played basketball and soccer. And so they just needed an extra body out there just to go around and hit tennis balls. And I played a little bit with my sister because she actually played over at St. Anselm's for her college career. I'd just play with her for fun, you know, in the summertime or whenever the weather was nice, but I never really took it seriously. And senior year, I joined the team, and like I said, things took off from there. So, yeah.
1 year later, you're in college then, and you're up against, you know, some very high-level talent. What was that adjustment like, I mean, from high school?
Well, luckily, I wasn't in the lineup freshman and sophomore year.
Or even, like, in practice. Perhaps.
Yeah, even in practice, no. It was tough. You know, I was playing against much better players alongside of me. But, you know, I did the extra work outside the court, and I took pride in bettering myself and working towards these days now, and finally cracking the lineup for the team. So,
yeah, you mentioned you got to play last year. So what was your first match you got to play?
First match was at Vassar, I believe.
Okay.
We lost pretty badly, but you know, it was a good learning experience. Me and Ben, we, you know, coaches always like the camaraderie and, you know, how we've really come up together. So we had some good doubles matches last year, and we had our first NESCAC win against Trinity together last year. And then we came together again in Florida, and during our training days, Monday, Tuesday, before our matches against St. Leo, Rollins, Eckerd, and Florida Southern.
Yeah.
And things went well, and we kept that fire going, and now we're having a good start to the season. So.
And obviously, Coach Gassingay is a Mainer himself, Does he? Do you have an extra connection with you? You know, you and Ben, and then him as all being Mainers.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose. Yeah, yeah. No, and our newly acquired assistant, Coach Chris Norenson. Mm. He's always yelling 207 when we're on the court together, me and Ben. So it's nice. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Being one of the captains, what's that experience been like?
It's been really fulfilling. You know, I look back at these past 4 years and it's really flown by. And if you told me 4 years ago when I was just walking on, barely scraping by in the bottom of the lineup, I would have never believed you that I was going to be here. So it's been really fulfilling. And Coach has put his trust in all four of the captains. So, and it's been really good, really good, yeah.
I believe NESCAC play starts this weekend, if I'm mistaken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how excited are you guys to get back into NESCAC action?
We're excited. We have Con on Saturday. We have Tufts on Sunday. We have some revenge to get on Con after last year's results, so we're excited for that one, and we're looking forward to it in Merrill. And then a good test for us on Sunday against Tufts. But, you know, we're ready. We're as ready as we've been, honestly, in my 4 years, so.
What do you think about the new scoring system? I'm curious. You know,
well,
it's different.
For me, you know, when we have our full lineup out there at our best strength, I'm only a doubles player. I'm not in the singles lineup, actually. I'm only in the doubles lineup with Ben at two. And I like being responsible for 1 point, but selfishly. So,
right.
But, you know, it's okay. I mean, that one doubles point, though, you know, it still matters a lot in going into momentum for the singles, so.
Yeah, so what was it like to get that singles opportunity against USM then?
It was nice. You know, I haven't always been the, you know, doubles came more natural to me, just my game and my play style. But, you know, I've worked hard in my singles game as well. I also had one earlier last week or a couple weeks ago in Florida against St. Leo. That was good as well. And, you know, we'll keep working at it. But for now, that's where I fit best with the team and in that doubles lineup with Ben. So,
what about your game makes doubles better for you, I guess?
The coaches, they are always talking about my kick serve. Just my kick serve in doubles is a big weapon. My volleying and, you know, just getting the points done quick, coming to net, you know, that's more my style of play and setting up my partner. So that's what doubles fits me much better.
Great. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share about, you know, your time at Bates so far, these past couple of victories for the Bobcats you wanted to mention we haven't got to talk about yet?
Just looking forward to giving one last run here. And I think we have a good team. A very good team. You know, we talked about the conditioning aspect and the physicality of our team. I think this is really the best that I've seen from our past 4 years, and we've done a good job as captains, I believe, to get ourselves prepared, and we've trained hard early mornings and conditioning and everything else, and I'm excited to see what we can do this season. So we've got a lot of young talent and young guys. We're a young team, but, you know, I think we've got what it takes to take down some of these higher-level teams, and we'll see. It'll be a good test this weekend. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely, yeah. Saturday, 10 a.m. against Connecticut College. Sunday, noon against number 3 nationally ranked Tufts. Both those matches in Merrill Gym. Stop them by and support the Bobcats men's tennis team in action in NESCAC play. Eventually, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
The track and field teams were in Boston on Friday and Saturday for the New England Division III Indoor Championships. The meet was highlighted by another record-breaking run by men's senior captain Truman Williams, who broke the Bates record in the 600 meters. But there was a lot more to celebrate as well. And for that, we're joined by track and field head coach, Curtis Johnson.
Yeah, the major highlights were just bringing a young team and seeing how fearless and you know, competitive they were. We saw so many freshmen, sophomores who are already a factor at the biggest championships. And across the board, we saw New England records and meet records broken all over the place. Mm. So this was a competitive year for the men and women. What usually scored didn't score. It took a lot more. But our leadership led the way, but our youth, they really just went out there and competed. We talked a lot about the New England Championships leading up to this moment, and I think they stepped into it and embrace that atmosphere. There are so many performances. I know I talked a little bit about the freshman. I think Max Hoffman, that's somebody who automatically pops out on day one. He was one of the people who helped kick off the championship, anchoring the DMR to a runner-up performance. Fun fact, the team that beat us was a Middlebury guy who was his captain, a senior from Middlebury. And he was going up against our freshman and Max Hoffman, and who came back in a competitive 3K to score the next day. But again, there's just so many performances, whether you were freshman, sophomore, new to the sport, a lot of great things. Truman obviously broke the school record, his first time ever running the 600, you know, ran a gutsy race. And overall, we had people make finals that weren't expected to, like Kevin O'Connor, who's our leader and a captain, but he actually wasn't ranked inside the top 10. You know, he wasn't ranked inside, just outside the top 15. So he made the final, and, you know, a lot of things, a lot of people stepped up, so we were just really proud. And we know there's more there. We were definitely shooting for top three, to say the least, but everybody showed up from the team, so we were proud of our group.
Well, you mentioned Max Hoffman. We had him on the Bobcast earlier this year, like real early in the season, after he had run a pretty good 3K. And he mentioned his goal this year was to surpass Ned's time in the 3K, which would mean third all-time on the Bates performance list. And he did it this past weekend, 8 minutes, 23.04 seconds. I mean, we've had some people make some predictions on the Bobcats that have come true, and this is yet another one. I mean, what can you say about a first year doing that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's all about the mindset. You know, I think on our teams, but a lot of teams in our conference, everybody's doing the work. And, you know, we talked a lot about, especially at meetings, like, don't just train hard. Start to, you know, claim what you want. You know, don't be afraid to speak it into existence. And I think Max Hoffman's a great example of somebody who has done that. And I know even a few weeks ago, it was, you know, Cam Stathos in the 800. He said, I've been running well through 600, and I want to close this way to hit my goal. And, you know, I truly am impressed and believe in speaking those performances into existence. You mentioned it's becoming a theme. I know the swimmer.
Yes.
That happened with the swimmer. You know, he said, we felt like we had a good relay that we could win or break records, and they did. So, yeah. You know, not just our team, but Bates Athletics, you know, I think speaking those things into existence is an important sign that we're being courageous.
Yeah, and Truman Williams, you mentioned breaking the Bates record in 600 meters in his first time doing it. That record had stood since 2013, so that's a pretty, you know, for track and field, that's a pretty old record. And then also, like, you know, he's the record holder in the 200, 400, 500, and 600. I mean, what a year for him. I mean, have you seen a senior season like this before?
No, I haven't. And I'm it's very special. You know, Truman, I'm in my fourth year as head coach, so he was one of my first recruits from, you know, that I actually sought out. And so, you know, watching somebody who came in as a young rising star be resilient and kind of create this moment for himself and the team is really special. These records are really impressive, to say the least. And I don't think anybody really can say on many campuses that somebody has that kind of range from 60 now to 600. So he's now sub 7 in the 60, sub 22, sub 48, sub 104, and sub 120 in the 6. So it's unheard of. And I think where the 400 lies almost square in the middle lets you know why that's the one he's highly ranked in the nation mm-hmm. right now.
On the women's side, I want to mention Alana Ardrey, who we've had on the show before. She just keeps moving up in the triple jump. She's now actually second all-time at Bates, and the person she's trailing was Sally an All-American, Cisse. Right, who yep. you coached. So, I mean, tell us about Alana breaking through, and do you think she'll eventually catch Sally's mark? Sally was over 40 feet, so we'll see, right?
Yeah, so, you know, Art Feely, who's our jumps coach, you know, he – I know we were really excited prior to the year even starting, just thinking about, look who we're bringing mm-hmm. into the program, look who we're returning. Alana, she really has stepped into her own this season. And, you know, I think freshman year it can take some time to adjust. But when the potential is there, you know it. I know the moment Alana got on campus, I nicknamed her All-American Alana. Was she an All-American right away? Of course not. But, you know, going back to speaking those things into existence when you know people – have that potential. But yeah, high jump, triple jump. Didn't long jump as much as this season, but Alana, her training partner, Campbell Johnson, they've been a 1-2 punch,
yep.
pushing each other back and forth. So that's that better together that we love. Sally Cisse had it with Shristi Sunil,
yep.
You know, for a bit until she really just, you know, excelled some more. So it's definitely fun. Alana's also competing this weekend as well, coming up, because, you know, she just she's on fire, so we're excited about that.
And you know, Carly, I feel like in the weight throw is close to, you know, really having. I mean, she was mentioning she thought she could move up the list a little bit. The top two distances are pretty hard to get to, but I mean, she's making some good progress too, right?
Yeah, and that's a, you know, the top 10 list for Bates throws on, you know, it's a historic list. Yeah. So to be on that top 10 list says a lot. Carly is well on her way to being not only one of the best in our nation, but, you know, in Bates history. So she's competing this weekend in hopes of, you know, punching her ticket to nationals. She absolutely could. We always say it just takes one throw, one jump, one race. It just takes one. But she's in an amazing spot right now as we go into this Tufts national meet.
Yeah, last chance meet is this Saturday in Medford at Tufts. DMR caught lightning in a bottle last year and made nationals and then became an All-American group. Looking forward to seeing the DMR maybe repeat some history this season, hopefully.
Yeah, and like, you know, last year we spoke about how we just decided, like, let's take another stab at it or a first stab at it. And so
yeah,
the goal this year is to have, you know, similar aspirations. You know, we're going there with a mission and we're going to see what it plays out. This dynamic is different because we graduated Ned, but people stepped up. Ross is on paper faster than Ned. Truman's faster than he was last year. Jackson Mons, who was an alternate for the relay, he's running better than he was. Calvin Capelli, who's at 800 leg, he's consistent and running well. So, you know, and then we have some other sprinters like Ryan Harding, who he was on the DMR at this New England Championships, the open 4 and 4x4, showing that he can step up for the squad. So, yeah, you know, there's no reason for us not to say we won't have similar goals to, you know, punching relays tickets, but we're excited for this weekend.
Well, I saw Aiden Rooney was moving up the top 10 list in the 800, and he's part of this DMR group, isn't he?
Yes, and Aiden, you know, since he's been on campus, he's always been somebody who was a factor in that middle distance area. Mm-hmm. So he's running amazing these last few weekends. He's really performed well. So he would be that 800 leg this year. And, you know, any of the last few years he could have been. He's really a talent. So, but now he's a veteran who knows, he knows exactly what that meet is like and, you know, what it takes to perform. So every year is different, but it's really cool when you can see people step up and know what it takes.
Well, speaking of, I mean, this particular meet we have coming up, the last chance meet, I always feel like it's so different from everything else. I mean, some people are there just for fun. They know they're not necessarily going to make nationals, but they want to see if they set a PR. And other people are like, oh, my gosh, there's so much pressure. What are your thoughts on kind of the atmosphere of this particular meet?
Yeah, you know, I think the atmosphere when you go there is actually pretty simple. It's like that calm before the storm because, you know, you are going there with a goal. Some people are not going to go to nationals because that's just how it works and it's competitive. And there's five last chance meets. Or excuse me, there may be six. Let's say six last chance meets across the nation. So at this one in Boston, it's a great facility, flat track, good throw circle that we're used to. And, you know, just in general, we as coaches, this is that one time where I say we are comparable to some other sports, right? When you pull somebody off the bench, what's that why? Is it because they didn't, you know, everybody makes a mistake or two, right? But we know when people are on fire. We know when people deserve that extra opportunity because, you know, big improvements can happen and just put in the right atmosphere. So we have people who are national caliber competing. We have people who are on the bubble and people who just need one more push and they could be that next superstar that, you know, we hear about, right? So this is, as coaches, we're recognizing performance but also momentum going into this weekend. So it's pretty locked in.
Curtis Johnson, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast to update us on the track and field program with the indoor season winding down. Some exciting opportunities await the Bobcats. I appreciate it. Thanks again.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's an exciting week of sports for Bates Athletics with the women's lacrosse and baseball home openers set for this Saturday. And, of course, women's basketball competing in what we hope are the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. Make sure you stick with GoBatesBobcats.com for all the latest Bates Athletics news. And we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.